His name confessed in hearts with love aflame will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Whole room full of victors, right? All right, here we go. Down at the cross where my Savior, a wonderful provider to us, you have blessed us abundantly. With joy, O God, we give back to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Guess what? It's the first Sunday when the kids are normally sitting in here, but today Miss Carol has a lesson for you. You are dismissed. Children under the age of 40. No, I didn't mean that. Hey, look in your bulletins on the right-hand side. We've got some really important things just to draw your attention to. Today at 4 o'clock, we are going to attempt another use of technology. I am going to try and show a webcast called I Stand Sunday. It has to do with praying for this nation. And, you know, you got one of these maybe. Certainly you got stuff in the mail. Election day is Tuesday, right? Hopefully most of you have already voted, but if you're still discussing measures, come and do that. But the main thing we need to do, I think, as Christians, is we're called to pray for our nation. And this will be a very professional webcast. There are many wonderful speakers. If you want to know the details about it, you can go to the iStandSunday.com website, and it tells you all about it. But we'll get together, and we will pray. If I am technologically challenged and we don't show the broadcast, we still can pray. Amen? Yeah. Amen. To help you have a little confidence, I want you to know that yesterday, I installed a deadbolt. An electric keypad deadbolt in my front door. I did it. Attention, ladies, there will be a women's council meeting today at 11:45. Ladies' council here, right after church. It might be 12, because I know things you don't know. Okay, and Bible study opportunity on Wednesday night stays with Tom Jacobson is leading at Salon Roth's house, studying the book of Romans. Operation Christmas Child, there are more boxes to be filled. You can pick them up in the back. Any other announcements I need to make? Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to say all ladies are welcome at the council meeting. Everybody. And I'll be in the back room for the Sunday school
attempt. And Wednesday night, from here until at least through November, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, it will not only be choir practice, but practice for all the Christmas plays. And so we need to get together to do it, or we won't have Christmas plays. So Karen's got that? Thank you.
And Monday night at my house at 6:30 in North Plains, anybody interested, we're having Bible study again on David.
All right. Lots going on. That is terrific. If you heard things and you didn't get a chance to write them down, you can see Kay Wing, you can see Tom Jacobson, you can see Norma Heiser, you can see Anita Dugan, you can just don't come and see me. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the letter of James in the New Testament? It's right after the wonderful book of Hebrews. You come to this letter of James. This letter is from James. He tells us he's a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to the 12 tribes, which he calls the Jewish believers scattered abroad. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Does your Bible say that? Am I reading from some translation that is distorted?
Which translation?
This is New Living. What do you have?
I have American Standard.
Okay, I like that one. What does that say?
It says, count it all joy. Sorry, I lost my page.
That's it. Verse 2.
When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces a steadfastness.
Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, or when troubles come your way, when things happen. And I wrote in my Bible, oh, really? I like to study the Bible, but I also like to be honest with my heart. I like to be able to say to God when things don't make sense to me, or when I'm not figuring something out. Has that happened to you ever? You ever read through and just say, I don't get this? Or you might get, I know it happens a lot more in the Old Testament, where it just seems like the stuff is going on, and you might wonder why. But James is one of the clearest, most succinct chapters or books of the entire Bible. And here he tells us, when you go through stuff, count it joy. How's that working for you? Is he serious? Do you think God means what he says?
Yes.
Do you know what hyperbole is? Hyperbole? Hyperbole is an exaggeration. But it's an exaggeration that's used to make a point. Now, I'll give you an example. If I said to Norm, you better straighten up, Norm, or I'm going to knock your block off. That's hyperbole. Because I'm not really going to knock his block off, am I? You parents, you often say things to your kids that are maybe a little exaggerated that, well, not Don. He's sitting there, got his no hyperbole. Can you think of any other hyperboles that might occur in the New Testament? I'll give you a couple. Jesus said, if your eye sins against you, pluck it out. If your hand sins against you, cut it off. There was a dear fellow, now this is going back 30 years or more, in Vancouver, Washington, by the way. He got on fire for the scriptures, and he just thought if God said it, that's what it had to be. He read this thing, and he maimed himself because he realized that he was sinning. I don't think any reasonable person would believe that God is saying he literally wanted you to do that. And so he says, well, the Bible's true, yes or no?
Yes.
And we believe the Bible literally. Well, yes, we do believe it literally within context and within meaning and with interpretation by God's Spirit. Okay, now there's a couple more verses I'd like to share with you, 6-8. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Wait a minute. Is there anybody in this room that has ever wavered in their Christian faith? What, do you think just by wavering you get tossed out of the kingdom? Do you see what I'm talking about? Hyperbole. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They're unstable in everything they do. What we are trying to say oftentimes when we are teaching someone is this is serious business. Trust in the Lord. And when bad things come and happen to you, look for Him. How many of us have a testimony that God is great? That, huh? Really? There's only 5 of us? Someday, just someday, I want everybody to admit what they're thinking. How many people have a testimony that God is great?
Boy, yeah.
Sorry, I was distracted. I forgot where you were.
Have you read the Proverbs and the Psalms? Do you notice a significant difference between David in the Psalms and Solomon in the Proverbs? Without getting super scholarly here, David shares his heart. If David is down, he tells you he's down, he cries before the Lord. If David is up, he's shouting hallelujah and thanking God, right? David's wearing his heart on his sleeve. Whether he's doing good or doing bad, he's a real honest guy. Solomon in the Proverbs and others share with us his wisdom. Right? Solomon is teaching us, you know, all of the... In fact, the book of Proverbs is almost like reading a bunch of fortune cookies, right? Do this, do this, do this. And most of them are geared to our betterment, are they not? Wow. Live this way, it'll benefit you more. Take these actions, it'll bless you more. Avoid this kind of thing, it'll keep you out of trouble. Both Psalms and Proverbs thrive on hyperbole. David gets very extreme in his praise for God. Amen? In fact, he got in trouble one time. He wasn't wearing enough clothing when he decided to go praising God, and he upset his wife. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, what's the message there? The message is that he was so consumed with his love for God that he just didn't care about... Now, is that God recommending that that's how we should behave?
No.
No, of course not.
Not in public.
Not in public. But I submit to you, the truth is still there that God wants us so in love with Him, so excited by Him, that when the stuff hits the fan in your own life, you'll still be someone who can say, nonetheless, I trust in the Lord. Jesus says, do this to remember me. The Samuel says, whenever it is you're doing anything, remember what the Lord has done for you. Don't you think they understand that we're going to face things? My wonderful Carol has taught me a few years ago a saying. You might have heard her say it. If you haven't, I will repeat it to you. Because we as a church need this saying right now. Are you ready? Do you have a pencil? Do you have a piece of paper? Because you need to write this down. At least burn it into your heart if you're not going to be obedient to write. Here's the saying. Keep your heart right and your mouth shut. keep your heart right and your mouth shut. What does James have to tell us about the tongue? You know, he talks about how the tongue cannot be tamed. He talks about this horrible flame of fire the tongue becomes. Has anybody experienced that?
Yeah.
Have any of you been on the receiving end of a tongue lashing? How many experts in giving a tongue lashing do we have? Yeah. Have you ever found out that after you've really given a good one, and I mean you were righteous in everything you said, you just nailed them? What?
You lost the war.
You didn't get anything, did you? You were right and you were correct and you were doing, you had the data. You drilled them good. And you broke fellowship. And you and they went separate ways. Even if it was just for a short time, it's a terrible time. James is often quoted as being the guy that teaches about having service for others and a faith that is not a dead faith, but a faith that is a working faith. He says, for example, chapter 2, verse 14, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions?" That kind of faith can't save anyone. For years, that's been used by people to get other people doing lots of things. What is the number one action a Christian can have towards another Christian or the world? Thank you. If we could just learn how to love other people. Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard for us just to accept one another where we are with all our foibles and failures? What is it about you and me that seems to prefer some people and reject others? I'm not asking you to give me feedback because I know your wheels are spinning right now. You're saying, what's he looking for? I'm just trying to acknowledge, we who say we love Jesus Christ, we who say we want our faith to be ignited, should practice it by loving others. And there, we could spend the rest of the afternoon pretty much agreeing on ways that we don't love. We need to love. Some of the greatest Bible stories and Bible teachers have love as their central message. In fact, in the great priestly prayers of Jesus there in the end of John, what does he say when he's talking with the Father? He said, you and me and you, we and them, they and us, talking about the body of Christ, united in love. Amen? Let's practice keeping our heart right, our mouth shut, not being instruments of poison.
Amen.
Because we're so good at it. It works so good. It just kills other people. And I tell you, I've had this happen because I pastor a small church. I've had people say things like, small churches are hard to be a part of. So I compliment you. You guys, you're the strong ones. Because you can endure a small church. It's easy to go to the big places and not even reveal any of yourself. And I'm not faulting them. Praise God, you know. But when you come and you share your lives with one another and you reveal some of your idiosyncrasies, then the other people respond to you. Oh my gosh, what do I want? I want Christ in you to be the manifestation of God's glory. And I think we can learn more about it. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, last week I talked from the book, The Mystery of the Shemitah. Sorry you weren't here, Sally, but it was a barn burner, I'm here to tell you. The Shemitah is terrific, and it was much better when I was practicing that probably. But when I finished this message last week, Brother Tom comes up to me and says, "Skip, you forgot the best part." See, he can't control his tongue either. See? I said, "Tom, what is it?" And he says, "It's about the Shema." Would you please welcome Tom Jacobson?
No, I've got it.
Dude! And you should introduce your guests as well.
I will, because they are special. Sitting next to Wanda there are Clint and Elsa Marie Ashley. If you raise your hands, say hi to them. Clint is a friend of at least 40 years. We were pastors together and shared many exciting experiences like children's camp. I was the camp pastor. He was the camp missionary. And that's where we first met. And then Clint asked me to come over to Pullman and do a Bible conference. And I did. And I'll tell you, it was the best Bible conference I had ever done. In fact, some of the people were trying to figure out how they could get me to come over there and pastor. And I said, "Well, you already have a pastor." "Oh, he's leaving." Poor Clint. I didn't know where he was going. I want you to start by going to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay? And this is what we're going to study today. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elchad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Not little gods, but one God. Now, this is in the Old Testament, okay? And let me read from the first verse. Now, this is the commandment that and statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. Notice the going over. Do you know that we are going over people? Christians are going over people because we are going over. We are going over to heaven. We are going over to a better life. We are going over to following Jesus. We are going over people. Amen? Amen. Good. Okay. It's always nice to have an agreement. Okay? That you may fear the Lord your God, and you and your sons and your sons' sons, by keeping all the statutes and the commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, let me stop there for just a minute. How many of you would like to learn how Jesus prayed? Okay, would you like that? There it is, right there. Jesus prayed the Shema twice a day. Remember, he was Jewish, and all the apostles were Jewish. And they prayed the Shema every day. And this is the key to how they had a significant prayer life. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall, okay, here's number one. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Just when you're sitting around, you're supposed to talk about the Lord. What things he has done for you. And what do we usually talk about? Oh, how are those cockamamie Blazers doing? Okay, how's Oregon State doing? How's the Ducks doing? What was the score yesterday? Yeah, I know they won big. But what about what the Lord is doing for you right here and right now? Sit around and talk about that for a while and have that blow your mind. Then, when you get all finished with that, when you walk by the way, when you're walking around, out in the world, talk about Jesus. Would it hurt any of us? Would it be the thing that might stop somebody? I have a T-shirt, and on that T-shirt is a faith. Now, that was a program that Southern Baptist came up with, Skip. It was a faith program, and I have this T-shirt, and people will ask me, well, what's faith? They think it's some building somewhere. And guess what I get to do? I get to share with them about what faith is. I have a lady at Safeway in Forest Grove that I have witnessed to people so many times that every time I wear that shirt, she wonders who I'm going to talk to next. And when I find somebody that says, what's faith? She says, oh my God, here he goes again. Does that bother me? No. Let me tell you a story about that. One day I met a man who was just torn apart, broken. His wife had left him. He was driving back from the Oregon coast all by himself to Minnesota. He asked me what faith was, and I said, do you have a few minutes? We'll sit over there, and I'll share you what faith is. And he says, yes, I can do that. So I shared with him about Christ, and he accepted Christ that day. He accepted Christ that day, sitting in Safeway, having a cup of coffee. And so he went back to Minnesota. I said, now the first thing you do is you go find a Bible-believing church. I wanted to say Baptist, but I didn't. Okay? I said Bible-believing. Okay? And then you get baptized, and then you start sharing your faith with other people. And he did. And every once in a while, I got a little note from him about what he was doing and the things that were happening in his life. Well, guess what? His wife joined that church. She got saved. And guess what happened? They're back together. Because I took 10 minutes to share Jesus with a man who was hurting. Okay? Now, folks, let me be pointed. You run into people that are hurting all day. And I don't know if you say anything to them. Amen? That wasn't very loud. All right? Speak up. Speak up. Don't be shy. It's not going to hurt anything if you share your faith with people that come in contact with. Okay, so we're sitting in our house, we're talking about Jesus, we get up, we go outside, we're walking around, we're talking about Jesus, and then it says, when you lay down. Well, that's when you go to bed. What do you do when you go to bed? You talk to Jesus. And then it says, when you rise up, you talk to Jesus. My goodness, you have a life of talking with the Lord. Do you think he's going to answer your prayer? Do you think he's going to communicate with you and be helpful to you? Okay. Now, I know some of you don't agree with me, but I believe in that verse in John that says, if you obey all my commandments, I'll answer your prayers. John 14:6. I think it is. And I know many of us, right? There's got to be more to it. But he said, if you obey my commandments, I'll answer your prayers. Because when that happens, the Father will be glorified in the Son. Right? Okay. Let me tell you another quick story. I love to tell stories. Okay? My brother and I have all sorts of kids. He has three, I have three. And one time we were together in Fresno and we went to the county fair in Fresno. That's a big deal. Okay? Now, the adults wanted to go see all the animals and the chickens and the goats and the pigs and the horses and everything there. The kids were not real excited about all that, as we found out. They wanted to go to the rides. So my brother and I bought a roll of tickets. I stood at the beginning of each line, and the kids came through, and I gave them a ticket. I can do that. I went to the seminary. And I can do things like this, okay? And I gave them a ticket. Well, this little boy comes up, and he stands there like this. Well, I didn't know this little boy. And no, I didn't give him a ticket. All of a sudden, my son comes running up and said, Dad, let me talk to you. And he pulled me aside, and he said, this is David. He and his mom are having a hard time. Would you please give him a ticket? I went back. And I gave him a ticket. Why did I give him a ticket? In my son's name. I didn't want to make my son out because he had promised this boy some tickets. I didn't want to make him a liar. So when Jesus answers your prayer, God the Father doesn't want to make his son a liar. But you know that you have to be joined together. You have to be in Christ. You have to be talking about Jesus when you sit in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're out and about, when you lie down and when you rise up. When you have that kind of commitment, when you have that kind of life, guess what? Your prayers are going to get answered. Amen? Good. Wow. We're working together very well today. Isn't that nice? The Shema. Now, I want you to know this sermon started out on a napkin. Okay, Skip, you know this, right? This is the best place to start a sermon. Larry, get a bunch of napkins, put them in your pocket, and you, whenever you sit down and get an idea, write them down. So, the Shema is a transliteration of the Hebrew imperative to hear. That's theological. To hear. Shema means to hear. And it's the one thing that the nation of Israel didn't do very well at times. They didn't hear very well. And they certainly didn't listen very well either. But guess what? We're a people who hear, aren't we? And we're a people who listen, aren't we? And we are a people that do what we listen to and hear. You betcha we do. All the time. Oh my. The Shema became the confession of faith by which the Jewish nation acknowledged the one true God of Israel. Today it is the spiritual national anthem. Everywhere you go, they will sing the Shema. Whenever there's a meeting, the Shema is sung. It is sung in the morning prayers, it's sung in the evening prayers. And this is how they do it. Okay? Now, listen to me because you're going to do it too. Shema, Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Melech, Akkad. Think you can sing that? Now, you cover your right hand. Cover your right hand. Cover your eyes. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Elkad. Okay, put your hands down. Now put your hands over it again because I didn't hear half of you. Okay? Now let's all do this together. Come on, sing out loud. You sang beautifully during our worship time, right? Okay, same type. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Elkan. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one God, not many gods. One God. The Shema is part of morning and evening prayers. All Jewish people pray the Shema, even if they're not spiritual, even if they're just wandering around the nation claiming to be Jewish. Contemplating these words help us to see beyond ourselves and then to live accordingly. How important is the Shema? Well, I would say it's very important because if you ask Jesus, and I believe this, if you ask Jesus what the most important verse of the Bible is, I would say he would say it's the Shema. And he says it in Mark 12:29. Don, you want to look that up and you can read it for us in just a minute, okay? Now, if I were to ask you, well, what if I asked some of our Pentecostal friends? They would say Mark 16. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons and they speak in new tongues. Well, Catholics would say, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Most Protestants would say the most important verse is Romans 3:28. We maintain a man is justified by faith and not by works of the law. Reformation students would say Romans 8:29-30. For those God foreknew, he also predestined, and those he predestined, he also called, justified, and glorified. My Church of Christ friends would say it's Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some of my Baptist friends would counter, it's Luke 23:43, where Jesus said to the unbaptized, today you will be with me in paradise. My premillennialist friends would point to Matthew 24:40. One will be taken and the other left. Billy Graham would say it's John 3:16. Well, what would Jesus say? I think he would say it's the Shema, because it reveals how he prayed. And Mark 12:29. There it is. From the words of Jesus, he said, the Shema is the most important prayer you can pray. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Elkad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Not many, one. Okay, the Shema focuses my attention on God because it's all about him and not about me. Okay, the Shema connects me to a larger community, the church, where we pray together. The Shema reminds me to worship God with my whole being, not just part of me, but my whole being. When I sit in my house, when I walk by the way, when I rise up, and when I go to bed, my whole being is focused and committed to Christ, is focused and committed on the one who saved me, is focused and committed on the one who brings me joy and happiness, is focused on me because he can heal me like he healed that man with cancer. And then we have to deal with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my mind. Everything is focused. And that's that's one of the reasons I went to Skip and said, Skip, you're missing a good thing here. Okay? I wasn't criticizing him. I was just pointing out. And, you know, I can understand that the church doesn't understand this because you're not Jewish. Guess what? I am. I'm not the great I am, but I am Jewish. And I want to share this with you so you understand that you cover your eyes and you sing the song and you focused your mind on the Lord. It goes on to say, because the Shema is in three parts. The second part is in verses 11 through 19, and the third part is in Numbers 15. And there are three parts of the Shema, but the first part is the one that I want to focus on. Now listen to me, okay? Are you listening? Are you? Are you really listening? Out in the desert, 3,000 years ago, Abraham heard, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. As he was wandering in the promised land, he heard that message. Moses, as he was standing, looking over the Red Sea and the Egyptians on his tail, heard, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkad. Moses heard it, put the staffs up, and the sea parted. Do you think we serve a powerful God? Okay? David, in the temple, after his son that he fathered with Bathsheba, which was illegitimate, died, heard this. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkad. And he asked God to forgive him. He washed himself and went and ministered to his wife. We serve a powerful, healing God. Solomon, as he dedicated the temple, heard, Shema Israel. You can sing with me if you want to. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkad. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came and nobody could stand in that temple as it was dedicated to the Lord. God, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful if the Spirit came in such power? It's happened. It's happened. What would it take? Well, it would take you talking about it in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you come here so energized by the Spirit that Skip wouldn't have to say, he'd just have to get out of the way and let the Spirit come. Wouldn't that be great? And I like to hear you, Skip, so, you know. But there's times. Okay? There's times. Okay? Elijah and Elisha heard, My God shall be one God. Ezekiel heard that. I heard it when I was bar mitzvahed, because a group of men got around me and laid hands on me and said, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkad.
I heard it when I became a Christian, when I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. This is what I heard. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkan. I heard it when I made my first trip to Israel. I was standing at the Wailing Wall, and they were all singing together the Shema. And it was powerful. I couldn't say a thing. All I could do was cry and weep, because I knew I served a powerful God. Now listen, are you still listening to me? One day, that powerful God is going to plant his feet. One on the Mount Olives, on the other one on the North Gate. What do you think he's going to sing? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkan. And I'm going to look face to face with the guy that took the nails for me. I didn't deserve it, but God did it, and Jesus did it. Do you understand? Do you understand? And then in heaven, what are we going to sing? Shema. Now sing it loud. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkad. We serve one God. We serve one God. And I'm going to stand face to face with my Savior, who is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. My God is there. He is waiting for you and I. And He will receive us. And then we're going to sing something like this. Oh, we'll turn to the north. Where's the north? Shout to the north. Shout to the north. Come on, you know the song, the Celtic song. Shout to the north. Shout to the south. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. And we're going to sing, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to listen to each one of us give a testimony about what Christ has done for you. And we're going to clap and cheer and carry on. And Jesus is going to teach us everything we didn't know. And every once in a while, we're going to sing. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elkad. Listen, I'd love to have you pray in the morning, pray in the evening, when you walk by the way, when you sit down, when you go to bed, when you rise up, and just see what happens. I think I know. That Holy Spirit may come visit some of you. He came here and visit us. Right? Now, why am I talking about the Holy Spirit when I'm a Southern Baptist? Huh? Do you think maybe I believe in it too? You bet. I believe. I believe. Larry, I believe. You got me? I believe. Clint, I know you believe. You know, Clint and Elsa Marie have been a real blessing to us. Elsa Marie won't tell you, but she donated a kidney to her brother a few years back. And both of them are alive and well. Isn't that great? That's really something. And Clint struggles with the same heart problems that I do. And we're both living by the grace of God. Okay? I should have died 30 years ago. But guess what? Guess what? God's got something for me to do. And I better do it. Right? And the same with you. God's got, if there's a breath on that mirror, when you blow into it, God's got something for you to do. And you best do it. when you're walking in your, when you're walking by the way, when you're in your house, when you rise up, when you lay down. Holy moly, what a change it could make in your life. Will you give it a shot?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we come today and we thank you. We thank you for teaching us this little tidbit from Deuteronomy. And we thank you for the many blessings of this day. Thank you for Skip being our pastor. Amen. Thank you, Skip, for being our pastor. And thank you for being so open and doing the things that you do. Rejoice today. Rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Tom.
Bet.
Well, I just want to close with a very short summary of the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. However you like to say it. Here, you ready for the summary? Because some of you are going through some stuff. Anybody? Anybody going through some stuff? You practice what Tom just taught us and read Habakkuk, who says God is up to something. That's what he says. God is up to something. God bless you, church. Thanks for coming today. We have refreshments. Ladies, the 12 o'clock noon for your meeting. How about that? All right. God bless. You're dismissed.